Good morning, everybody. Welcome to All Shores. We're so glad you decided to join us this morning. Would you stand with us as we worship together?
Turn seas into highways. God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations, I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up. To do the same thing for me. Oh, oh, oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. On the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my children, then you hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing. Same God, you are the same. captives, then you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers, then I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same.
Shadows, no less faithful in the night. mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. Oh, I will praise you on the mountains. I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my God is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
We do praise God. We know we're on the mountaintops, and we praise Him when we're in the valleys as well. And just to be honest, it can be a lot tougher to praise Him when we're in the valleys, when we're going through those difficult times. And that's one of those reasons that we gather together, whether you're here in the room or online, that we draw on the faith of each other, we pray together, we lift each other up so that we can praise Him, we can call on His name to move those mountains. You know, if you have a mountain in your life, whether it's big or whether it's small, you know, we just invite you now to seek Him, to offer that up to God, to ask Him to move in that. And the way we do it is simply have a seat right where you're at. Some people will come around you. They'll put their hand on your shoulder. And just a reminder that you are not alone in this. And we'll ask together for God to move those mountains. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do trust you. God, we praise you for where you're moving. And we praise you with those who are praising you. We thank you for the great things that are happening in our church and in our lives, God. And we just ask for more of that. We thank you for the great Easter celebration we have and the people that dedicated their lives to you. And we just pray for growth, that we'd have that spiritual growth in our lives, that we would impact the world and the kingdom around us in our community. God, and we pray for these needs too. There's so many needs in our church right now, God. There's those who are just waiting for diagnosis, as those who are fighting cancer or fighting illness, who are hospitalized or recovering from surgeries or awaiting surgeries. God, and we ask that you move in those situations. We pray for those who are praying for their loved ones who are ailing, God. We pray for those restorations of relationship, for those who need financial provision. God, whatever those mountains are, God, we just give them to you and ask that you move those mountains in your mighty name. We believe that you can do that. And we trust you in that. Lord, and we pray just not for our church today, but for other churches in our community. And we pray for First Baptist Church in Spring Lake. And God, to ask that you continue to lead them, that you provide for them, that you help them accomplish the mission that you have called them to. And we pray for our missionaries around the world. We think of Lester and Amanda and their family, God. And ask that you bless them. Bless them in the transitions in their family. Bless their kids as they prepare for school and mission trips and all that you have for them. God, remind them that they are not alone in this. God, give them fruit in their ministry. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and lead them. And in every situation here, both spoken and unspoken, Lord, we say we love you, we trust you, and we ask you to move in the mighty, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, you can go ahead and be seated. So glad that you're here today. I want to welcome you to All Shores. I'm so excited that you are here, whether you're here in the room with us, whether you're joining us online, or maybe you're even driving back from some fun spring break location. So excited that you are here to worship God with us today. And we want to connect with you. We want to help you take steps in your faith. And really the best way we have to do that is our connection card. In front of you, you will find that little connection card. You can fill that out. You can let us know if you're new here, if you're a guest here. We'd love to meet and connect with you. If this is your church home, this is the way that we connect and grow with you. So fill that out. Take a look at that. You might want to even change your address if you've moved. So we have that. There's prayer requests you can put on there. And if you just take those back to the connection point in the lobby back there, and I'll actually be there after the service. And if you're new, I'd love to meet you and connect with you as well and answer any questions you have. But it's really the best way we have to connect as a church. You know, as we're talking about connecting, we have a great opportunity, particularly if you are a lady in the church. Coming up next Saturday, we have our next women's event. And this is a full-day Saturday event where we have some of the best ladies speakers in the country from the IF Gathering. We're going to gather together from 9 to 4. We're going to watch those videos together. We're going to connect. We're going to have lunch. And just want to encourage you to be a part of that. You know, if you're a husband or a guy and your wife or your girlfriend is here, I want you to encourage them to go. Say, hey, I'll take care of the kids. I'll make sure you can go to that. But we'd love to have you here and connect with us that way as well. This is also the part of our service where we just give back, where we say, thank you, God, for how you moved in our lives. And we know that we trust you, and we want to trust you with our finances as well. So if you came prepared to give today, we just ask you to do that as an act of worship. There's ways to give on the screen up behind me. You know, if you're new here today, this is not something that we expect of you. This is something we do as a church family. There are also offering boxes on the way out that you can give that way. But we are so grateful that you give back and you trust God and you trust your church in that way. So thank you for doing that. If you'll turn your attention to the screen now, we got a video for another great event coming up that you're going to want to be a part of.
You may have heard about famous baking duos like
Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart,
Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin,
Amy Schumer and Chris Fisher, but now you've got
Lance and Bruce. On April 25th, we will be two of the six contestants competing for a cake decorating contest at our Night Out for a Cause. This event will be held at the Trillium Event Center in Spring Lake and will help raise funds for a bakery in Sesshomene, Ethiopia.
This bakery will employ 14 families from our care point. 160 children are sponsored through All Shores. And over the last 7 years, we've provided a water kiosk, a latrine project, and a dairy farm.
No way!
Yahweh.
The Night Out for a Cause will offer a great meal, silent live auctions, Ethiopian coffee ceremony, and a cake decorating contest where you can be the judge.
Nice. Tickets are available now at our website, which is allshores.org. We're also looking for sponsors and donations for this event. Register today to give or go.
Night Out for a Cause, April 25th.
Well, good morning. It's fun to follow a video like that. And I am excited about this event. We've been doing fundraisers for the last several years as we have a care point in Ethiopia. And so there is more information for you to have on that event and what we're doing in Ethiopia following the service today at both of our campuses. And so I'll let you know more about that later. But I want to welcome those who are joining us in Muskegon. I want to say hi to my buddy Tim. I told him he was going to be out there today, and so I wanted to say hi to him. And those of you who are joining us in Spring Lake, some of you who are back from vacation, those of you who are on the Carnival Breeze, welcome back. I was sick of seeing all the photos of the sunshine. Anyway, you know who you are. But yeah, we are following up today from last week, and what a great Easter it was. If you were here, we had three individuals make a decision for Jesus last week. Yeah. We had 10 people who are ready for baptism and signed up over the next couple of months. Yeah. You can keep it going. It's all right. Yeah. People making spiritual steps. It's a good thing. And yeah, and more than 100 of you said you are committed to take Jesus to our shores, and we're going to talk about that today. That Pete last week in his message talked about how Jesus met Peter on the shores of his brokenness and betrayal and restored Peter to a right relationship with God. And then he filled him to go out, and we're going to talk about that today and follow Peter's journey and his story, where he gives us an example of how we can meet others on our shores and do what Jesus did for him. And so I'm excited about the message today and where this is going to take us, but we believe that God is present, he is here, he's in your car, whenever you're listening, his spirit is everywhere and wants to speak to us. And so we just want to pause and prepare ourselves to hear from God today, whatever he has. So will you bow with your heads with me? The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word endures forever. So God, we are so grateful that we could open up your word and know that the same spirit that helped to inspire these words is the same spirit that's here to make them come alive for each and every one of us. And so we pray that you would do that today, that you'd move among us. And Lord, whatever is of me, that it would fall to the ground and be forgotten. But whatever is of you today, whatever word, shout, whisper, emotion, Lord, we just believe that that's from you today, and that that would not only stick, but it would help change us, that we might be more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. And everyone said, amen. Well, I have a fun role, you know, working with missions, and I had a young man in my office who's graduating high school this year, and talking to me about doing a missional experience and hearing more, like going overseas and experiencing more of what God is doing around the world, and also identifying even what God's doing in his own life and where God might be calling him. And while we were having our conversation, I didn't say anything to him, but I noticed he had bands, you know, and bracelets on his wrist, and one of them had the initials WWJD. What would Jesus do? Yeah, some of you are familiar with that, but it's been a long time since I saw a bracelet or had a bracelet that said WWJD, but it reminded me, as I was talking to him, it reminded me back in the day when I was a youth pastor, back in the 90s, way back in the 90s, I remember reading the book from Charles Sheldon. It was called In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? It was written in 1890. And is a fictional story of three individuals in a small town who kind of took on that question and how it transformed and changed their life. But it took on new life in the 1990s, 100 years later, when these bracelets came out and youth groups all over the country were challenging students to begin living their lives this way. And I remember having that bracelet, asking that bracelet, and it certainly changes, right? A part of your behavior and your attitude, if constantly everything you're doing throughout the day, you're asking yourself, what would Jesus do? It changes things. And so I thought it was great that he was wearing that, but it also reminded me that there was times, let's be honest, maybe you're like this too, where I would hear a good sermon or I would read a passage of scripture, I'd be in a Bible study and I would hear something that was challenging and I'd say, man, that is great. How do I do that? Like, how do I live this out? What would Jesus actually do? Like, how do you figure that out? Well, you got to get to know Jesus, first of all. But it is a challenge for us to know, what does it look like to live out what Jesus was doing? And I think that was the challenge for the early church. You see, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, right? He leaves his disciples and he says, hey, wait here in Jerusalem, and then you're going to be my witnesses. And they were like, oh, okay. Now what? Right? So they go back to the upper room and they begin to pray. And it's for 10 days they're gathered together, they're praying, and they're asking themselves, what are we supposed to do now? How are we supposed to live this out? Now, Jesus promised that he would send his Spirit, and sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and fills all of these believers, these followers of Jesus. And immediately they go out and they begin to be his witnesses. And it was Simon Peter on that day of Pentecost, the same Simon who days earlier had been restored out of his brokenness and out of his betrayal. Jesus restored him, he forgave him, and he called him to this new way of following Jesus. And Peter, who's always the first, right, seems to be the first to kind of stand up, stand out. He's the first one out of all those who are filled with the Spirit to stand up in Jerusalem, and he begins to proclaim this message about Jesus to the thousands who had gathered in Jerusalem for worship. And here's what he says. Acts chapter 2. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. First, God sent Jesus. Jesus came to reveal who God is. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. So you took God and you nailed him to the cross and you punished him for revealing who God was, but you need to know that this was part of God's plan. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Amen. Jesus, Peter says, was God who came down to reveal God to us. It was a part of God's plan. You, because of wickedness and sin, put him to the cross. That's your sin. But he went to the cross for you, and he died for your sins, but God raised him back up again. You killed him, God brought him back. But he did it for you. This is Peter's message, right? But he goes on. He continues to preach, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the conclusion. Peter says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. I love this. It's the Greek and Hebrew. It's the he is master over all. He is Messiah, God's anointed one or king. We're going to go into a new series starting next week, Jesus the King. He is the King of all kings. And when the people heard this, when they realized that Jesus was Lord and Messiah, they were cut to the heart, broken, and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This is a great question. The Jesus that you punished, that went to the cross for you, who is God, who paid the price for your sins, now what? Now what do we do? And Peter gives them direction. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and your children and for all, everyone who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Wow. This is the gospel. This is the gospel message. Peter stands up, he preaches that day, and when they're cut to the heart and they say, okay, what do we do now? Now that we realize our brokenness, now that we realize that we were wrong, now that we realize we are without God, what do? Peter says, turn, right? Repent. No longer live the way you're living, but follow God. And the way you do that is you get baptized. It was representing more than just symbolism, but it was representing that I am made new and I'm living my life in a new way. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit will fill you and help you to live that out. That's the gospel message. And we hear it from that point on in Acts chapter 2. We hear this over and over and over again in the New Testament. It starts with Peter, and then there's other apostles who begin to preach this very same message. And then it's elders and deacons like Stephen and Philip that we read about who preach this gospel. And then the apostle Paul, who takes this very gospel that is proclaimed to the highest levels of authorities in Rome. And following this amazing proclamation, the early believers gathered together, right? We're told at the end of Acts 2, they gathered together for worship, for prayer, for the breaking of bread, to hearing the teachings of the apostles, to hear the stories of what Jesus did, so that they could begin to live that out themselves. What would Jesus do? But immediately after this story, immediately after the proclamation of the gospel, we have another story that Luke gives us. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were on their way, just days after this, they were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they're on their way to the temple to pray, they come across a man who has been lame from birth, who's at the gate of the temple. There's a reason he's at the gate. It was a good location. If you were going to beg, you'd want to be just outside the temple where people who were spiritual, right, going in and out of the temple, hey, I'm in need. Will you do something for me, right? It's a great place to be if you're looking for people who are compassionate. The other reason he was at the gate is because of his infirmities, because he was lame from birth, he was never allowed to actually step foot into the temple. You see, in the Old Testament, if you had an infirmity, if something was wrong, you were not allowed in. Only those who were made right with God, physically, spiritually, could be in his presence, could be in the temple and be allowed. So he's He sat there every day. People carried him there every day, and he heard the worship going on just on the other side, but for his life had never entered in because he wasn't worthy. He wasn't right with God. Man, what a hard place to be stuck. Peter and John walk up, and he starts asking for money. It's what he did every day. And Peter and John come up to him, and Peter says, "Look at me." And here's what he says. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then he took him by the right hand, and he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And listen to this. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Well, yeah, he had never been in the temple before. Peter demonstrates the love and the power of God to restore and to renew, just like Peter did for him. Both the proclamation, the message of the gospel, and the demonstration, living it out, were the two things back to back that Peter did in order to help others discover God. It says, when all the people saw this man walking around praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Man, I love this. Whenever lives are transformed through the love and the power of Christ, people in our world recognize it. Wait, isn't this the same person who used to live this way? Isn't this the same person who had these struggles? Isn't this the same person who used to live in brokenness and now has joy, has community, has new life? They're different. And people are amazed and they wonder at what it is that Jesus can do. Peter did, with the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter did what Jesus was doing. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, and he reached out, and he loved others practically, and he restored them physically, spiritually, mentally. The proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel, it's what Jesus did, and so it's what Peter did. And I believe it's what you and I are called to do, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, resurrection, and his ascension, what he has come to do, and that he's given us his Holy Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we show the love and the power of God to those who are broken, those who find themselves on our shores of failure and struggle. We bless others through the proclamation and demonstration of the gospel. We bless others through the proclamation and demonstration of the gospel. Now, you can put this different ways if you want. This can be, you know, you talk and you walk, you preach and you reach, you share and you show, you declare and you display. I don't care what words you use or how you do it. It's two signs of the gospel coin. It's two things that God has called us to do, to minister to others who are on our shores. Now, I intentionally use this word bless because this is an acronym that we use here at All Shores. And it's a very practical way that you and I as individuals and as a church, that we can do this very thing, that we can proclaim the gospel, share the gospel, and we can live that out and demonstrate God's love to others. So let me just walk you through this again, and many of you know this already. We begin with prayer. There are people that we pray for that we know are broken, that are on our shores, that we encounter every day, and it's friends, it's relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, enemies, strangers. We call it our Francis list. We actually have a card that has a list on the back of all those individuals that you can take with you, and we keep this out in both campuses, in our lobby or at our connection point, that you can have this prayer card with you and begin to pray for these individuals, but not just pray for them, move to encountering them on the shores. where you gather together with them and you begin to listen with care. You hear their stories. What a great way to show God's love and his power to stop and to just hear and to listen. Not proclaim in order to somehow share this message that they need to hear from you, but to sit and to listen to what God has already been doing in their lives and where they feel they're stuck or where they feel they're broken, and maybe they don't feel like God loves them at all. I was recently at a World Vision conference in San Antonio, and in the evening one night, there was a group of us walking downtown by the Riverwalk, and there was a guy in the corner with a bullhorn. Haven't seen this in a while either. And man, he was, I don't know if it was the gospel he was teaching, but he was letting us know that we were not where God wants us to be. And he was pretty harsh. And I just thought to myself, he's not stopping to talk to anyone. He's not hearing their stories. That very same morning, I walked out of the hotel with some perfect stranger next to me and just started asking him questions, found out he was there to visit and to plan a conference for some other company. And I wound up walking 5 blocks with him, heard his whole story, why he was there, his family, his kids. It took 5 blocks. No, this guy standing on the corner wasn't stopping to listen and to build that relationship. But we believe that there is something powerful that happens when we sit with someone and hear where they are spiritually. Eat together. There's something powerful about breaking bread together in many cultures around the world. That's a sign of true friendship, that we belong together. We might have differences, we might not agree on things, but we belong. Serve. Serve them and allow them to serve you. Participate together in their life, and then finally share, which is a part of that proclamation. So the first several are ways, or at least serve is a way that we can demonstrate God's love. Share is to proclaim the gospel message of what Jesus has done for us. Not only share your story, but share God's story. And we've used an illustration, and I'm going to try this today. We've used an illustration called the three circles, and I'm just going to share this with you, hopefully. And if you want to use it, and I've used this in the past, use a napkin or something when I'm out with someone and I want to just kind of have a basic illustration of what Peter shared at Pentecost, is that we live in a broken world. We know that our world, right, that there is brokenness. We can see it all around us. There's strife, there's war. And it's not just things that are going on outside of our own lives. We recognize it in our own lives. We're broken people. We don't get it right. And so we're kind of a mess. But that wasn't God's original plan. That wasn't God's original design. You see, originally, God had a different plan in mind. He had a perfect plan or design for you and I. There, how's that? So, how did we go from God's perfect design to brokenness? Well, the scriptures tell us it's this thing called sin. You see, God's design was to live his way and to know him and to follow him, but we did things our own way, things that are not what God wants us to do. And whenever we do that, that's sin, and it leads us to this brokenness. But God also knew that that would happen, so he created a way for us to be restored, and that's through the individual Jesus. You see, Jesus was God who came down from heaven to show us the way. Jesus was perfect in every way. He was without sin, and so because of that, he paid the price for our sin on the cross. He was the only one that could do that for us. And not only did he die for our sin, but he rose again to bring new life, to defeat sin, to defeat death. That's what Peter said, right? And so how do we move from this brokenness to understanding and knowing God's perfect design? Well, scriptures tell us we need to do a couple of things. One is to turn, right? To repent, to move a different direction, to recognize that our way is not the right way, to turn and then to follow. To follow Jesus. And when we do, God's word tells us and promises us, and we experience that he fills us, he forgives us, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he restores us to God's perfect design. And then he fills us to do two things: to grow. We grow in our relationship with him. We grow as we discover more of him. We grow as we begin to live more like him. And second, he fills us to go. We go back into a broken world to share the love and the power of Jesus Christ. It's simple. I know I'm not adding all the scriptures, and I can do that. Romans 3:23, we know the wages of sin is death, right? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can add stuff to this, but this is a simple way to help people to understand what Jesus has done. This is part of the proclamation of the gospel. I guess I got to shut this off, don't I? There. Many of you are already doing this. You can help people by asking the question, where are you? Do you find yourself living in brokenness? Or do you know Jesus Christ? Have you found that restoration? Have you discovered his forgiveness? Because that's what he wants to do for you. Some of you are doing this already in our congregation. Many of you are, those of you who are watching online. And maybe this is just an affirmation that, man, I am living this out. I am doing what Jesus would do. You know, there's a family recently, this last year, who shared with me that they have a game night. And they meet with friends who are lost, who are broken. And they, as a family, they pray for them every day. And then they get together for these game nights. And it's during these game nights that they talk about spiritual matters, and they talk about what God's doing in their life, and they're beginning to proclaim and to demonstrate the love of God and share that with those who don't know him. I know two men in my Tuesday night group, Dan and Mark, are both military veterans, and both of them in different ways have found ways to reach out to those who are hurting from the effects of war. And praying for them and caring for them, scheduling retreats for them, and just loving them in the name of Jesus. I know that Noah and Kennedy, they're with us this month from Thailand, and they're doing this in amazing ways in Thailand, where they're teaching in the local school, but outside of those relationships with students, they're inviting them to come hear more about Jesus Christ. And we've had many students who have... Ooh, I had to shut the mic off. They've had students who have come to know Jesus Christ, who have been baptized and have joined the local churches there. And that's just a part of this proclamation and demonstration. Each and every one of us can have a Francis list. We can have people that we're praying for. We can live out this bless. We can proclaim and demonstrate the gospel. And it's not only as individuals, but we do this as a church as well. We have local, on our local shores, right? We have these ministries that do both. That do both. They're designed to demonstrate the love of God in some way, meeting some unique needs, and at the same time, finding ways to proclaim and share the gospel message. Love in Action in Grand Haven, whether it's housing or our food pantry that we do, other ministries that we engage together with them. We have a collaboration of churches that meet housing needs for those people who are in need through Love in Action. We have a refugee ministry where Bethany Christian Services has had people who have come to our area in order to relocate. And we have a team of people who are amazing, wonderful. I don't tell them that enough. But they meet every week with these individuals to help teach them English, a second language, help them find jobs, get their kids in school, take them to medical appointments. It's an amazing ministry. Kids Hope mentoring in our local schools, hand-to-hand. Coopersville, Muskegon, and Spring Lake were involved with hand-to-hand. Wraparound Orphan Care is our own orphan care ministry where we come alongside of people who are doing foster care or adoption, international or national, and different ways to scholarship and help them and do respite nights where you can come and just watch some kids for a couple of hours and do games so that the foster families can have a break, maybe go out on a date night. We have jail and prison ministry. Used to be Forgotten Man Ministries. What is it? What is it called now? No One Forgotten. Something like that. No One Forgotten and prison fellowship. So we're in both Ottawa and Muskegon counties. Love Inc. and Muskegon, we have life direction classes that are taught at our campus almost every week right now, and it's a way to help people who are in need in the community. Positive Options, Pregnancy Center in Grand Haven, Coopersville Cares, we're still connected with Coopersville Cares and the ministry that they're doing out there with food and resources. And we've got these two new ministries, and you'll hear more about this later. Upward Ministries is a children's sports ministry where we're going to start in the fall a basketball league for elementary age kids and their families up in Muskegon. And every week they gather together, not just to play basketball, but there's a devotion. We pray with the kids. We meet with the parents and build relationships. And so we're excited to get that launched. And then Go Serve is a new ministry you'll hear more about that we're hoping to launch in the fall, which will be a resource to do what I'm talking about today, to be able to provide resources to those in our community, your neighbors, your people that you pray for, ways that you can provide resources to them, tangible ones, and give you the opportunity then to share the gospel and to pray with them. And so we're excited about those. But not just locally. Those are our shores, but our shores extend globally as well. We've got global partners, YWAM, Cross World, One Mission Society, Children's Hope Chest, World Vision, all these organizations that are doing both the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel. And you and I get to be a part of that. We get to live it out. What would Jesus do? That's what Jesus would do. He would proclaim, he'd demonstrate. It's what Peter did. It's what the disciples did. It's what the early church did. It's what you and I are called to do, to bless others through the demonstration, proclamation, and demonstration of the gospel. And that might be a challenge to you to say, man, I'm not sure I can do that individually. I don't know if I'm ready. You know, I told the story of talking with a complete stranger in another town, and some of you are like, that would never happen to me, right? Head down, just walk. I get it. That's not everybody. But if that's the case, join us on our shores. Some of the different ministries that we're doing. Find a way to connect, to do kids ministry, kids hope. Partner with us as we are doing programs and finding ways to engage people on the shores of their brokenness. Join with others and participate in that. And for some of you, it may be a challenge for the first time to actually share the gospel with someone that you've been praying for. Draw the three circles that I drew. You don't have to get it all right. Just say, hey, we heard this message. Does this make sense to you? Does this mean anything to you? Do you understand this? Do you find yourself in brokenness, or are you ready to be restored? Maybe God is challenging you in some way this morning to take that step to proclaim and demonstrate his love, his power, the gospel message of what Jesus Christ has done in order to meet people on our shores. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. And Lord, you didn't restore us through your death and resurrection in order that we might remain where we are and not share that with others. You've given us your Holy Spirit that we can go back into a world that is broken. We can meet people on our shores. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can help us to do both, proclaim and demonstrate that our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, our enemies and our strangers, all those we encounter, Lord, as Peter said, those who are far off would be drawn to you and to know the transformation and the love that you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. As we close, we're going to take communion together, and as Peter shared the gospel message of Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples would gather together and they would celebrate what Jesus did for them. And as a church, we do this every week, remembering what it is that God has done for us. But we do so that we can walk out and we can take that with us into our world and minister to others. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to worship together. And in that time, if there's something that God has stirred you with, maybe a commitment that you need to make, just have that conversation quietly with God in your seats as we worship together and before we take communion. Let's sing. God is good to us. And on the night that he was with his disciples, he gathered together with them. And we're going to participate in communion. As you came in, you should have received a cup. And there's two layers to it. They peel back the top for the bread. The second layer is for the juice. And we do this together as a community because we're not in this alone. God has called us to go out. Someone once reached out to us. It is our role to reach out to others, to tell them this story of what Jesus has done for them. And so because of that, this is an open table as a part of the Wesleyan Church. You don't have to be a part of our denomination. You don't have to be, have permission. We just pray that you are seeking a relationship with God, that you have found yourself moving from brokenness into restoration, and you're seeking after him and seeking his forgiveness and his face. And if so, we invite you to participate. As Jesus gathered his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it and gave thanks and said, "This is my body given for you. Let us now take and eat." And then taking the cup, he said, "This is the blood of a new covenant." It did represent the blood of a lamb that was shed to bring life, that death would pass over those who were in Egypt because of the blood of a lamb. And Jesus says, "This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins," that death no longer has a hold. God passes over because of what Jesus Christ has done, as you have received him as your Lord and Messiah. So let us take and drink. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within reach of your saving embrace. And so clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and I want to invite you to come back next week as we begin this new series going into the summer, about Jesus being the King and Kingdom in our lives. And invite others, as you share the gospel and demonstrate, invite others into this story to hear about who Jesus is. I want to let you know one final thing before you leave. We do have our food drive coming up, and so we have bags with a list of items that we need for our food pantry. Great way to demonstrate the love of God, right, to those in need in our community. Those bags will be handed out as you walk out this morning, and take one with you. Bring that food back next week. Also, Night Out for a Cause, it's coming up in 3 weeks. It's going to be a fun night, a great night, but it's to provide a bakery for that will employ 14 families providing self-sustainability in Ethiopia, and would love for you to be a part of that night to hear more. So if you have questions about that, want to register for that, there is a table out here as you go out to your left, and there will be a team of individuals out there to answer questions that you might have. There, I'm done. Why don't you open up your hands? I'll give a blessing. And now may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, continue to fill you with His Spirit. And may His Spirit guide you into conversations with others, that you might not only proclaim, but that you might demonstrate out of love and care for others, the love and power of God to change their lives, that they might come to know the same Savior that you know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.